News Radio KMAN. Good morning. It's now 7:03. And in place of our local newscast here at the top of the hour, we have been doing our coronavirus updates with some local health officials. And today we are fortunate enough to have the president of Ascension Via Christi Hospital, Bob Cobble, on the air joining us here this morning. Bob, good morning and welcome again.
Morning, Dave.
Do you think that some of the news that came out yesterday with like a country star named Joe Diffie passing away, if when we hear those types of names that have passed on because of coronavirus, does that personalize it a little bit more for some?
You know, I think it certainly makes it easier for people to start having a connection. Across the country, I think we're now at 2,400 plus deaths. And that was actually as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, it starts to make it more real.
Yeah.
You recognize.
Yeah, we've had six deaths in Kansas now. And one of the things that we've done here is that we have, on a daily basis, you know, brought our listeners up to date on numbers. And yesterday, the numbers came from the state that we were up to 319 positive cases. And that was up, close to 60 from the day before. And there are now 35 Kansas counties that have reported some coronavirus patients. So it is continuing its spread, as many of us have feared. So let's implemented a new policy at the hospital, and you call it universal masking. Tell us what that's all about.
So this is a step to protect staff. And so if you were to come into the hospital, you'd see anybody who's patient-facing, which means you're interacting directly with patients, going forward is going to be wearing a mask. And also we're asking staff if they're they're not in the patient room, but they're back out at the nursing desk, if they're within 6 feet of another coworker, they're also asked to keep their mask on. And this is, one, it's a good way to kind of reinforce the social distancing at work, but also then when we're working with patients, when we're facing patients, if you will, that we've got some protection on. And this is, obviously it's a step of protection for the staff, but also protection for our patients as well. So it started this weekend, and that's actually happening across our entire health system as it's kind of a fine balancing act, because everybody knows that we're short of personal protective equipment in the country, but we're really trying to protect our workforce because we know that that's the key ingredient as we go forward.
Yeah, you have to protect those people, don't you? I saw a neat video the other day of a woman who is a nurse getting ready to go to work, stepping out of her car, and she was greeted by a number of people from across the street. They were all spread out, giving her a standing ovation, in essence saying thank you for the work that you do.
Very cool.
And, you know, that's something that that we can all do. If you know a healthcare professional in your world, you know, reach out. Maybe just text them, say, thank you. We appreciate what you're doing. And because it's a tremendous sacrifice. There's another video surfacing of a doctor who came home and couldn't get a hug from his young son, and basically had to see him through a glass doorway, and he just buckled and cried because he wanted so much to receive that hug. You know, these are touching times, challenging times, obviously, and those little videos put things on a personal level. And I know that that's a strain on a lot of families right now for those that are in the healthcare industry. So bless your hearts. Bob, last night you had a meeting of your collaborative group of a bunch of healthcare professionals in the community. What was the discussions like?
Well, I think actually, as has been their history so far, it's been pretty positive. Just a lot of information sharing and also just kind of talking through situations. So we've got a number of our primary care physicians on the group. There are specialists on a group, long-term care facilities, the hospitals, the health department. And it's, partly it's people sharing experiences like we now are doing this via telehealth. We're now doing this in our parking lots. One of the groups shared last night, they've even started to do kind of people's maintenance lab draws. They started to do them out in their people's cars just as a way to protect patients and to protect staff. And so, some very innovative ideas, but also a good opportunity just to kind of have a virtual roundtable, actually. We don't meet in person. It's all over a conference call. and just really a good opportunity to, one, get that collaboration across the community, but also, I mean, sharing some very tactile, useful information. I think people take back to their practices this morning and say, would that work here? What might we do? Are there things that steps that we should be taking?
How many people are involved in that group?
Well, so on the actual, the calling group, it's probably 30 to 40 people.
Hmm.
And then they're representing all the physicians in town, so that's well over 100.
Are you doing this like via Zoom or Skype?
Yeah, we're using Google Hangouts.
Okay.
as our platform. But no, it's actually worked really well. I think everybody, one, just kind of trying to try the process, and also the technology is a little bit of a struggle because you can't see each other and you can't pick up, you can see each other if you turn on the cameras on your laptop, but it's kind of interesting also for our group of community folks to try to learn how to work through that environment. So.
Well,
it's been pretty positive. So
the technology that we have for communication today is a tremendous asset that you probably wouldn't have thought about ever extending it to that kind of level. But I can certainly appreciate why and all those that are involved. Now, we have been a very big proponent of making sure that people know about this call screening number, which is 785-323-6400. And we want folks to call that number if they feel like that they may have some of the symptoms of coronavirus. And the information about the symptoms are available on the county's website at RileyCountyKS.gov. But if someone does feel like the potential is to be hospitalized, what's that experience like at Ascension Via Christi Hospital right now when they get checked in?
So, I think things are, it's different than what everybody's probably used to. So, check in, obviously you can be checked in by people wearing masks. You're taken upstairs, to your room or whatever. I think some of the key adjustments people have had to make is not having visitors. So really working with our patients and their families to employ technology again, and either use FaceTime or WhatsApp or some sort of other app on a phone or iPad. But, I think it's kind of also been a neat opportunity for our staff to perhaps be even more connected and more involved with that patient because their family's not there, and so we've got to be there for them. And I think that's a little bit of an adjustment. It's kind of interesting. I was actually up here rounding yesterday with our nursing staff, and on a couple of the units, the staff just suddenly said, Bob, there's not been a single complaint from a family. We know they don't really care for it, but they all understand. And I thought that was just kind of a great observation. It is just different. I think the other thing is, too, is like with most respiratory diseases, it's not like you just get better quickly. And so even folks, they may be with us for a few days in the hospital, but then there's going to be a recovery period at home as well. And I think that's something that people just kind of have to kind of get your mind wrapped around that. It's kind of more of a progression, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to feel great and get back to work. And so, I think there's that piece of it too, just to help people kind of have that mindset. If you end up getting hospitalized, you may be with us for several days, but then there's still going to be that recovery time afterwards.
I look back, it's been a little over 2 months now since I was rushed into the emergency room for surgery to have a pacemaker installed. I imagine that process is quite a bit different, and that atmosphere is just also quite a bit different from the process of when you walk into the ER into possibly an operating room.
Well, I think, again, the biggest thing people might notice just the extra steps taken around infection control. Interestingly, though, for somebody coming in for a pacemaker or for emergent surgery, you're still going to move through the process, and we're going to get you from A to B. I was in here yesterday morning, and before lunch, we had done 3 emergent surgeries on patients. And these are just, things, unfortunate events that people experienced yesterday that were still on a Sunday morning brought in, through the ED, back to the OR, and taken care of. And so those things kind of still continue. That hasn't really changed.
Yeah. Well, Bob, we have another question, but I think I'm going to embargo that one for tomorrow morning.
Oh, that'd be great.
When we get the opportunity to visit again, and we certainly appreciate you for making these daily calls, and also best wishes out to all of your staff and all those that are in the medical field right now, in the emergency fields. There's a tremendous amount of demands and concern for their well-being, and we are grateful for them, and we wish them well in their personal lives. So, Bob Koppel, thank you for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Bye.
Bob Koppel, President and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital here in Manhattan, joining us this morning. We do want to remind you also, we have a special guest that will be joining us here at 8:30 this morning, and we'll get a federal perspective of COVID-19 and the efforts on the federal level. U.S. Senator Jerry Moran is scheduled to join us at 8:30 this morning here on News Radio KMAN.